All right, Tibo, say good morning. So today's daf is Sadik Ches. We're going to start by the Mishnah Sadik Zayin Amud Beis. A lot to do today. Hayu Kori B'Sefer Ala Isi Kufa. If someone was reading with the Sefer, and I'm about to understand when the Mishnah speaks about a Sefer, so the Sefer of the Mishnah is a scroll. So someone is reading a scroll on an Isi Kufa, and Isi Kufa literally is a threshold. So if you can imagine, you know, sometimes like in front of your house, not underneath an awning, but you have like a raised platform area that's between your house, and imagine you're standing right, you're next to the Rish Sarabim. So we'll define exactly what this Issa Kufa is in the Gemara, but you're sitting on your Issa Kufa, and what happens in Iskagala Sefer Miyado? You're reading your scroll, you're reading your Sefer, and it rolls out of your hand. So what happens? Golalo Etzlo. You can go ahead and roll the Sefer back to you. Now we'll discuss where the Sefer is rolling to in the Gemara. Hayakoy Bero Shagag. Similarly, if somebody was reading on the top on a rooftop, and what happens? Viniskagal HaSefer Miyado. And again, you lost your grip on the scroll, and it rolled down. So what happens? Ad shelo higia la'asar tefachim, as long as the scroll did not reach 10 tefachim of the ground, because we also have the assumption over here in this case is the rooftop is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Rosh Hashanah Yachid extends all the way, I should say Rosh Hashanah Rabim only extends to 10 tefachim up. So essentially what the Mishnah says is as long as the scroll did not extend into the airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so therefore what? Golalo etzlo. You can go ahead and roll it back to you. Mishiegia la'asar tefachim. However, once it reaches into 10 tefachim, then it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then you can't draw it back. Hofcho alaksav. So we'll say you have to leave it like that for the rest of Shabbos, but what are you concerned about? You don't want to leave the writing exposed to the elements. So what do? You could turn the scroll over. Hofcho alaksav. Rabbi Huda says, Afilo ein masulak min ha'aretz ela kemali machat. Rabbi Huda says, even as long as the scroll is not touching the ground, even if it's within 10 tefachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you can still roll it up as long as there's even a needle's worth of space in between the scroll and the ground. It's not resting on the ground. Then golalo etzlo. He can roll it back to you. Rabbi Shimon says, Afilo be'eretz atzmo. So Rabbi Shimon says, even if the scroll is on the ground itself, golalo etzlo, you could still roll it back to you. Why? She'im l'cha davar mishum. Shavus only bifnei kisei hakodesh, because something that is only aser midrabanan won't prevent you from exhibiting proper kavod to kisei kodesh. So we'll say, in other words, what Rabbi Shimon is saying over here is that lemaisa we're dealing with derabanan. Now, why are we dealing with derabanan? Look at Rashi over here for just a moment. The last Rashi in the Mishnah, Mishum Shavus, Rashi says, Kigon zu shelo nafal miyado. Because we also remember, in this case, the common denominator in all of these cases is you are holding one side of the scroll in your hand. One side fell out, one side is still in your hand. And Rashi points out, Shahari achaz berosho echad, ve'im kan elamishum gezera, dilma nafil kule miyadei, va'asi le'asui. So we'll say over here, interestingly enough, if you're holding a scroll and part of the scroll rolls into another reshus, the act of rolling it back to you is not considered to be an act of transferring an item. Why? Because since the object has not totally left the domain in which you are in, the item is still considered as if it's with you. Therefore, the act of rolling it back is not asur midoraisa. The Rabbanan came along and said you can't do it. Why? Out of a concern that if for some reason you were to drop this, the side that, or the part that you are holding, you may come to go into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim and to retrieve it and carry it back, which would be an av malacha. So also what we have over here is a three-way machlokis in the Mishnah and the rooftop case. I'm standing on the roof. The scroll rolls down. So can I retrieve it? So according to the Tanakham, according to first opinion in the Mishnah, as long as it's not within 10 tefachim of the ground, you can get it back. According to Rabbi Huda says, as long as it's not resting on the ground, even if there's only a tiny little bit of space between the scroll and the ground, you could roll it back. And according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it's resting on the ground, you could roll it back. Why? Because this whole issue is an Issa D'Rabbanan, and the Issa D'Rabbanan does not apply in a case that is Bizayon to Kisei Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Hai Sikuf Eichidami. What is the case of this Issa Kufa? If you're telling me that the Issa Kufa is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, V'kama Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and what? And it's right in front of a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And therefore, V'lo Gazvinan Zilma Nafil V'asi Le'esuye. And then what the Mishnah is teaching about says, I'm standing on my Issa Kufa, which is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. My scroll rolls in to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim that is right in front of me. So what does the Mishnah tell me? I can roll back my scroll, and we're not concerned that what? That a person may come to go ahead and go and if they and come, go into Sarabim to retrieve the rest of it. So top of Sadiqes, money. Whose opinion is this? Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon the Amar called Davar Shuhumishum Shavos Eino Omid Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. So we'll say this would seem to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that as long as you're only dealing with Isurei Dirabbanan, you can violate Isurei Dirabbanan to preserve the sanctity of holy writings, of Kisvei Kodesh. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Ema Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilo Ein Masuluk Min Ha'aretz Ela Malino Ela Mali Hachut Golalo Etzlo. Rabbi Shimon Omer Afilo Ba'aretz Atzma Golalo Etzlo. So we'll say, the Gemara now just says, so if you're going to tell me that the first case is Rabbi Shimon, because remember, in the first case, I'm standing on my Isikufa, scroll rolls into Rosh Sarabin, and yet the Mishnah says, I can go ahead and retrieve it. We're not concerned that I'm going to go into Rosh Sarabin and carry or retrieve the rest of it. Why? Because we suspend rabbinic prohibitions when it comes to Bizarin Kisvei Kodesh. That's Rabbi Shimon. Now what the Gemara points out is, now the end of the Mishnah also quotes Rabbi Shimon. Right, also quotes Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon was the last opinion in the Mishnah that if I'm standing on the rooftop, even if the scroll lands, I mean, I'm still holding part of it, but it literally comes to us from Rosh Sarabim, I could roll it back. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Reisha v'Sefer Rabbi Shimon, Mitziasa Rabbi Yehuda, so then are you telling me that the first part of the Mishnah and the last part of the Mishnah are Rabbi Shimon, and the middle is Rabbi Yehuda? So also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that stylistically, That's we don't normally like that. Meaning, we like a Mishnah to flow. So the idea that it's reflective of one opinion in the beginning and in the end, and reflective of another opinion in the middle, is not stylistically what we are most comfortable with. But the Gemara says, "Am Rav Yehuda in." Rav Yehuda says, "Well, that's the style of this Mishnah." Reisha v'Sefer Rabbi Shimon. Indeed, the first case and the last case of the Mishnah reflective of Rabbi Shimon. Mitzi Asa Rabbi Yehuda, and the middle is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi says, "Hacha." Rabbi says, no, the case of the Mishnah is different. What's the case of the Isikufa? The case of the Isikufa is where it's Nidreses. And we'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Nidreses, li'olam Isikufa Roshos HaYochiti. He agrees that the Isikufa in the Mishnah is Roshos HaYochit. However, aval Nidreses deregel harabim overes derech lo. But Rabbi said, there's an incredible amount of pedestrian traffic that happens to walk over this Isikufa. Ubemakom didrisas ragle bene adam omdin ika bizayon kisve hakodesh ulahachi sharyuha legololo etzlo de lo damya lakori begag de hasam leka bizayon kulihai. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, you know what the difference is? In the case of the Isikufa, we're dealing with an area that is traversed by the public. So we'll say, which makes sense, because if we're talking about an Isikufa that is right in a house, that's right next to Rosh HaRabim, so what happens when, remember, what happens when there's traffic or congestion in Rosh HaRabim? So what do people often do? People take a little shortcut over the side. So therefore, what Rabba is now suggesting is the case of the Isikufa is an Isikufa that's Rosh HaYochid, it is private domain, but it's accessed often by the public. So what's the problem? The problem is if you just turn the scroll over and leave it here, what's going to end up happening? It's going to get trampled. It's going to get trampled. And that's why even Rabbi Yehuda, who later on in the Mishnah by the roof case, who holds that when the scroll comes to rest, you can't roll it up. You just have to turn it on the side. That's only by the case of the roof. Because since there's a roof, the scroll is going to be lying against the side of the building. No one, obviously, is going to walk on it. But in the case of the Isikufa, people will be walking on it. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that what? That you can roll it back to you into Rosh HaYochid. So the Gemara says, "Umishum bizayon kisvei kodesh sharu rabbanon." And out of fear that if you leave the scroll where it is, it will be degraded, the rabbis allowed you to roll it back. Esvei Abaye. Abaye raises a kasha. Toch dalet amos gololo etzlo. We'll say Abaye quotes another brisa. And in this brisa, interestingly enough, it adds an interesting caveat. It says, if you're on the Isikufa and the scroll rolls out, if the scroll rolled out to within dalet amos of where you are, then you can roll it back. Chutz the Dalet, however, if the scroll rolls past, this is all the Isikufa case, if the scroll rolls past Dalet, then Hofcho alaksav, then you can't roll it back, you could just simply turn it over on its text. Or you could turn over the written side. V'i amrit p'Isikufa nidresa saskinon, and if you say, like Rabbi said before, they were doing with the Isikufa, that it's traversed by the public, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And so if you leave it there, people are going to walk all over it. Mali toch dalet amos, mali chutz la arba amos. So we'll say, why should it matter if the scroll unraveled dalet amos more or less? You know, we're dealing with the Isur D'Rabbanan here, because remember, it's not really considered like moving an object between one Rosh Hashanah and another. Why? Why? Because you're still holding on to part of that scroll. It's a din D'Rabbanan. D'Rabbanan relaxed their prohibitions in situations where there's going to be a degradation to Kisvei Kodesh. So what does it matter if it rolled within four or outside of four? Ela Amr Abaye, Abaye disagrees with Rabba. And Abaye says, Hacha de Isikufa Carmelis Askinan. Oh, what are we dealing with over here? The case of the Isikufa, Rabbi Say, is a Carmelis. Carmelis Isikufa. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Say, Isikufa Carmelis. Rachba Arba Ve'in Gofa Asara. So it's at least 4 Tvachim wide, but it's not 10 Tvachim high. V'chutzal Rosh Sarabim. Ulifnim Heyman Rosh Sayach. So it was like, you can imagine for just a moment, you have this Isikufa. So we'll call it, behind it is my house. In front of it is Rishus HaRabim. And this has the status of a Carmelis. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Rishus HaRabim overs the front end. Rishus HaRabim that runs right in front of it. Toch Dalet Amis. So, and I'm standing on the Carmelis. The scroll rolls out of my hand. If the scroll were to roll Dalet Amis, di'i nafel umaisila lo asi lidechiyuv chatos. Suppose I listen to this. If the scroll were to go ahead and roll Dalet Amis, suppose I, the assumption is, where am I standing? I'm standing in right at the edge of the Isikufa. So what happens? The scroll falls out of my hand, or I should say part of the scroll rolls out of my hand. Where does it roll into? Rosh Hashanah. Now, says the Gemara, if it falls within Dalet Amis, then what? Then when I retrieve it, I'm not really retrieving it, I'm just rolling it back. But even were I to go ahead and what? Go into Rosh Hashanah and actually get it and retrieve it, would I violate the Malacha? No. Because remember, both sides, there's no prohibition of transferring between a Carmelis and a Rosh Hashanah because they're both similar Rishuyos, and I'd be moving it less than Dalet Amis and Rosh Hashanah. So when it falls within Dalet, then even if I were to go and actually fetch it myself, retrieve it myself, I wouldn't violate an Issa D'Oraisa. Surely Rabbanon. So Rabbi Osai, in a case where there's no potential for an Issa D'Oraisa, then even the rabbis relax their standards as well and will allow you to roll the scroll back. Chutz la'arba amos, but if the scroll rolls outside of Dalet Amis and Rosh Hashanah, di ma'asila asadechi of chatos, that if you were to go into Rosh Hashanah and retrieve it, you would violate Issa D'Oraisa. Then what? Lo surely Rabbanon, the rabbis did not permit you to go ahead and roll it back. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Toch Dalet Amis Nami Nigzar. Even if the scroll rolls only within 4 Amos, we should still make a Gzera. What's the Gzera? Dilma Ma'ayel Mirush Sarabim Lirush Sayochid. Because also remember, we should be concerned about something else. Then maybe what's going to happen? You're going to go into Rosh Hashanah. Let's play this out. I'm standing on the Isikufa. Part of the scroll falls out of my hand. Rolls 3 Amos in Rosh Hashanah. So now, according to what we just said before, what Abai is saying before, I can go and I can get it. I'm sorry. I can roll it back. Why? Because even if I were to go and get it, I would not violate a Melacha D'Oraisa. But says Dima, why shouldn't we be concerned about the fact that maybe when he goes and gets it, where is he going to take it? He's going to take it back to his house. Right. Right, remember, let's assume right now that's his house in back, behind the Isikufa. So he's going to go and he's going to transfer it to Mamish from Rosh Saradim to Rosh Sayachid. Bechi Tema, Kevan de Mefsakes, Kamerlis Leslanba. But maybe you'll say that there is no Isser of transferring from a Rosh Saradim to Rosh Sayachid when there is a Kamerlis in the middle. But Rava said, Hamavir Chefetz Mitchilas Arba Lesov Arba, Veheviru Dovar Derech Alov, Chayv. But the Bosai Rava is on record as saying what? That if you move an object 4 Amos in Rosh Sarabim, 4.5 Amos in Rosh Sarabim, and what do you do? Well, 4 Amos and a little in Rosh Sarabim. But what do you do? Well, so you're a smart guy. You came to Daf Yomi first Shabbos in Erevin. So you know that if you lift the object up higher than 10 Tfachim, so what have you done? You've placed the object in a Makom Ptur. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move it. I'm going to put it into a Makom Ptur and then I'm going to bring it back down. So Rava says, you're still chayiv. Really, right? As long as it has not come to rest in a Makom Ptur, you're chayiv for transferring the object. Hacha b'maya skinan, what are we talking about over here? B'isikufa aruha. We're talking about, Rabbi Abbas, about a long isikufa. So what does that do for us? Rabbi Abbas, the Gemara makes the assumption that when people violate Shabbos, and we're not talking about intentional violators, when people violate Shabbos, why are they violating Shabbos? Because they have a lapse of awareness. But we also assume that what? That if you give them enough time to get their bearings straight, they will remember that which that it's Shabbos. So the Gemara says, we're dealing with it, a large isikufa, and therefore, after bringing it back from Rosh Hashanah, adahachi vahachi, while you're walking towards Rosh Hashanah to bring it back, Midgar, a person will remember that it's Shabbos and will not take the item back into the home. V'baisim, or the other possibility is, li'olam be'isikufa she'ina arucha. Or the other possibility is, no, we're not dealing with a long isikufa. Ustam kisvei kodesh iyunei me'ayin buhu. And I'm supposed to listen to this. The assumption is that if you're going through all the trouble to retrieve your scroll, what are you going to do with it when you get it back? You're going to learn a little bit. So because you're going to learn a little bit, Rabbi will say, all we want to do is generate time. Because the assumption is that we assume that if you have a little bit extra time, you yourself will come to the realization that it's Shabbos and will not go ahead and transfer this item. So the Gemara says, L'leichosh dilma ma'ayin buhu b'rush sarabim v'ayil luhu behedja l'rushos hayachid. Aye, but why aren't we concerned that you'll come to study it in the Rosh Sarabim and then take it straight into Rosh Hashayachid? Hamani, whose opinion is this? Ben Azahi, this is Ben Azahi, the Amar, Mahalich Ka'omei Dami. So also because the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah reflects the view of Ben Azahi. Remember, we had Ben Azahi back in Shabbos. Ben Azahi has a very interesting opinion, which is pretty much rejected by everyone else, that Mahalich is Ka'omed. Only Jews could say this kind of stuff. Right? That when you're walking, it's like you're standing still. Right? That what does that mean? That Ben Azai says that when you walk through a Rishus, just the idea of being present in a Rishus in and of itself creates as if you stopped in that Rishus. Therefore, the reason the Gemara is saying this is because even if you were to go straight from the Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Sarabim, by definition, you must traverse the Issi Kufa. The Issi Kufa in this context is what? According to this approach of Abaye, is a Carmelis, and therefore we're using Ben Azai Shita, it's as if you came to rest in a Carmelis, and therefore what? You have saved yourself from transferring an item directly from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Sarabim. Okay? The Dilma Zarek Lehu Mizrak, but maybe you'll throw the object from Rosh Hashayachid right into Rosh Hashayachid. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mode Ben Azai Bezorek, because even Ben Azai who holds that walking through an area as if you came to rest in the area agrees that what? That if you throw an object through the area, then lemaisa, the object is as if it came to rest. Amravacha bar Ava zosomeres ein mizarkin kisvei kodesh. So also what we see from here is the fact that Gemara doesn't entertain this idea is you can't throw svarin. You can't throw svarin. I will say again, I want to be clear. Remember, this is not about Sifrei Torah. They had all of their svarim, they had all of their books in scroll form. So whether it's Chumash, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, or for that matter, anything else. Remember, any time that they wanted to record teachings or writings, so this is not necessarily talking about a Chumash, even talking about any Kisvei Kodesh, just Torah writings. So we learn from me, can't throw Kisvei Kodesh. So we'll say, point that comes out is, we have three different approaches, three different possibilities as to the case of the Issi Kufa. Fine, the Gemara goes weiter. So remember again, case number two in the Mishnah was now I'm reading on a rooftop, and what happens? The part of the scroll falls out of my hands. So remember here again, we had three different shitos. First opinion, we'll call them Tanakama in the Mishnah. Tanakama in the Mishnah says that as long as the scroll did not get to within 10 tefachim of the ground, you can roll it back. Once it's within 10, that's our Sarabim area, you have to turn it on the side. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as it's just a little bit of space, you can roll it back. And Rabbi Shimon says, even if it's mamish resting on the ground, you could roll it back. So it says in the Gemara, V'hayakor bershagag, umishari, is this permitted? So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, so take a look. Okay, V'hatanya, kosvei svarim tefillin muzuzos, lohitiru lahen lafoch yuriya alpaneha, Ella Pores Allah es Habeges. So we'll say, listen to this. So now the Gemara says, according to the Tanakama, remember, part of the scroll falls out of your hand, and let's say it's within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Sarabim. So you can't pull it back at that point in time. Instead, what do? Yeah. You turn it over so the back of the parchment is facing outward, and that's it. So the Gemara says, are you really allowed to do that? After all, we learned that when, let's say, a sofer is writing a Sefer Torah or Kisvei Kodesh, so we'll say, if you've ever been to a sofer, you can actually see this. So we don't let them turn the scroll over. Instead, what do? They put a garment, a covering, on top of the scroll, because apparently it's considered to be a lack of cover to the scroll to turn it over. So how can the Mishnah advocate for turning it over? So the Gemara says, very simple. Hasam efshar, hacha lo efshar. The Gemara says, you're right. Of course, when you can, it is better to spread a garment or some type of cloth over the actual sefer, over the scroll. But when you can't, like in this case, when it's hanging down from your roof to the ground of the Surabim, then you do what you can. The only thing you could do over here is what? Is turn it over on its side. So the Gemara says, Ve'ilo apich, because in this case, you have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Yes, turning it over on its side, turning it over, so that this turning it over is not considered to be an incredible display of kavod. But you know what? What's even worse is allowing the scroll, allowing the writing to be exposed to the elements. Okay. Hovcho alaksav. So the Gemara says, Hovcho alaksav. V'ha lo nach. So Rabbi says, the Gemara says over here that in the case of the Tanakama, remember, once the scroll is coming within 10 tefachim of the airspace of Rishas HaRabim, then Lamaisi, you can't roll it back anymore. You just have to turn it over on its side, and that's it. The Gemara says, but why is that? At the end of the day, the scroll has not come to rest. Amar Rava, bekosel mushupa. Oh, what are we talking about over here? Rava is talking about a slanted wall. So we'll say the wall comes to a slant at the bottom, which means that the scroll, what? Does come to rest. The scroll does come to rest. So the scroll, according to this idea, then the scroll is coming to rest on a wall within 10 tefachim of the airspace of Rosh Hasharabim. So I'm really Abayi, but Mayu Kim Telemas Nisin because of Meshupa. So now you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a slanted wall. If that's the case, Ema Seifa, Rabbi Huda Omra Filo Eino Masulak Mina Aretz Ela Mali Machat. Gololo etzlo. So we'll say, what do you do with Rabbi Huda Shita? Because what does Rabbi Huda say? That even if there's only a needle's worth of space in between the scroll and the ground, you could roll it back, which sounds like what? That it's not touching the ground, it's not at rest. But yet you just told me that the Mishnah is talking about a kosel meshupa, a slanted wall, and the scroll has come to rest. Tamara says, you're right. Chisrei mesra v'achikatani. There's a piece missing from the Mishnah, and here's how you have to read it. When is this true that you can't roll back the scroll if it's within 10 tefachim? Bekosel meshupa. That's when talking about a slanted wall, Rabosai. Because in the case of a slanted wall, the object has come to rest on the wall itself. Aval, however, tzadik ches amud beis. Aval bekosel she'eino meshupa. But when you have a wall that is not slanted, then lemala mishlosha. But if you have a wall that's not slanted, then Rabbi said, what does that mean? That means then the scroll has not come to rest, it's suspended. Lamala mishlosha gololo. If it's more than three tefachim off the ground, then what? Then you roll it back to you. However, lemata mishlosha hov chalaksav. But if it's within three tefachim, then what Rabbi said? Then we would say essentially lavud, and you would go ahead and you turn it on its side. Look at Rashi. Lemata mishlosha hegiro shasefer the shlosha samach lakarka ara smichtahu vahari kemunat. Because you also remember, once you get into within three tefachim, ara smichta literally means it becomes like thick earth, and it's as if it's come to rest. So also the Gemara now is suggesting the following, that lemaisa, the way to read the Mishnah is that when does Rabbi Yehuda say that if it's within 10 tefachim, you can't roll it back? When does the Tanakhama say that if it's within 10 tefachim, you can't roll it back? That's with a slanted wall, because then it's come to rest. But if it has not come to rest, then essentially what we do is we use the laws of lavud. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Huda Omer Afila Einu Masulak Mina Aretz Kemali Machat. So Rabbi Huda holds that even if it's just a needle's worth off the ground, you can still roll it back. So the Gemara says, Deba Inan Hanocha Agabe Mashu. Because in order for the object to really be considered coming to rest in another Rishus, it mamish has to come to rest on something. The Elahada Amarava, but according to that which Rava said, Toch Shlosha L'Rabbanon Sarech Hanocha, Lema Kitanai Amar L'Shmaita. But then according to what Rava said, earlier in Masechet Shabbos, that within three tefachim, even the Rabbanon need an object to come to rest, meaning that what Rava is saying is that even within three tefachim, an object is not considered to rest unless it literally comes to rest on something. Lema Kitanai Amar L'Shmaita. Then apparently, again, he would be saying his statement in accordance with the Machlokes Tanum. Because you're supposed to remember, what did we just get saying before? Beforehand, right before the two dots, the Gemara said that if the object is within three tefachim, then what? Then that's the case where it's considered to be at rest, even if it's not actually at rest. But anything more than that, then Lamaisa, in order for it to be at rest, it actually have to be sitting on something. Elo kulu Rabbi Yehudi, right? The Gemara says, you're right. This entire section is really reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah was missing a piece. Here's how you have to read it. When is this true? The kosel meshupa. We will say, when is the statement of the Mishnah true? In the case of a slanted wall. But if you have a kosel that is not slanted, then afilu pachos mishlosha tfachim golalo etzlo. So we'll say, listen to this. So when do we say, when do we have all these discussions about lemala miyud, lemata miyud? When do we have that discussion? That's when the scroll is coming to rest on a slanted wall. That's when we originally say that if the object is within 10 tfachim of the ground, then of Rosh Sarab, then lemaisa is considered to be now at rest in Rosh Sarab, and you can't roll it back. If it's above 10 tfachim, then you can roll it back. However, aval bekoso she'ino meshuba, but if you have a non-slanted wall, which means what's Rabbi Osai? That the scroll is suspended. The scroll is simply hanging down. Afilu pachos mishlosha golalo etzlo. Even if it's within 3 tfachim of the ground, but what? It's suspended, it's hanging, you could roll it back to you. Why? Shirabi Huda, because Rabbi Huda used to say, afilu eino mesulak min haaretz, ela kemali hachut. Because according to Rabbi Osai, even if it is suspended, it's not touching the earth, even just by a needle's space, golalo etzlo, you could roll it back. My taima, because Rabbi Osai, the position of Rabbi Yehuda is that although we normally apply the laws of lavud, in this case over here, because the laws of hotzah are dependent on akira and hanocha, unless the object is actually at rest, not halachically at rest, therefore, again, you're permitted to roll it back to you into your rishus. So we'll say, again, what comes out is according to, again, obviously, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, but at least in Rabbi Yehuda's view, the Mishnah is talking about a kosel meshupa. It's talking about, again, a slanted wall. When it's a slanted wall, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that what? That Lemaisa, if it comes to rest with intent tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Sarabim, it's considered to be at rest there, and therefore you'll not be able to roll it back. You'd have to just simply turn it over on its side and leave it like that till after Shabbos. But if it's not a kosel meshupa, which means literally the item is dangling, then in that case, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if there's only a needle's worth of space in between the scroll and the ground, you can still roll it back. Why? Because as long as the item has not come to rest, then Lemaisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Issur d'Rabbanan will not apply, and you can roll the object back into your rishus. Says the Mishnah, Ziz shalifnei chalon. So I'll say, Ziz is like a protrusion. And I wish I had my gemara. This is my gemara. All right. So now you have a picture in there, right? No. I'm kidding. Right, yeah. I know. You have a picture in there. It's good. You have a picture in there about the ziz. Is like, if you can imagine, it's like a I don't want to call it a windowsill because I'm gonna get to windowsill in a little bit. But if you can imagine, you have a window, and you have a board. You have two like pegs, and you have a board that sits right outside of your window. That's called the ziz. I'm not calling it a ledge for a reason you'll see in a little bit. Because the Gemara is going to talk about a case of a window ledge. But we'll call it something that resembles a ledge. A ledge-like protrusion. Okay, so now you have this ledge. Much easier just to say ledge. You have a ledge-like protrusion. An alleged ledge. All right, good. So now... Okay, thank you. Okay, so you can see what I both say. So you have, again... Okay, it's a window ledge. Right, so you have again this protrusion that comes out from the window. Okay, so you have this ziz. So what happens? So ziz shefnei chalam, that's in front of the window. Nostin alav v'not lenu mena b'Shabbos. You can put stuff on it and you can take stuff off of it on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says, now we're talking about over here, this is talking about the people of the building. The people of the building could go ahead and utilize the ledge. So the Gemara says, Hai ziz demafik lehechan. Okay, where exactly is this protrusion? Where is this ledge extending into? Where exactly is it extending into? So the Gemara says, Ilema demafik lerush sarabim. If you tell me that it's extending into over, now I will say, if you tell me that it's extending over rush sarabim, then lechosh dilma nafil va'asi le'asuye. So I should be concerned that what? Maybe I'll put an object on it. The object will fall off. And what might I do? I might go into Rosh Sarab in order to retrieve it, in which case, again, there'd be an issue of Hotsa. So the Gemara says, Ella, the mafik l'Rosh Sayachid. Rather, it must be that the ledge extends over private domain, Rosh Sayachid. So the Gemara says, Pshita, but it extends into Rosh Sayachid. So who cares? Well, so then what that would mean is my ledge is essentially extending over my Chatzar. So the Mishnah tells me that I could put stuff on my ledge. Shkoyach, I know that already. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, the Olam de mafik l'Rosh Sarabim. You're right. In reality, we're talking about a case where the ledge extends over Sarabim. Umay nos nalav. And what does it mean? What does it mean when the Mishnah says that you could put stuff on it? It's very interesting. Kalim hanishbarim. You know what you could use the ledge for? Breakable items. Why breakable items? Because of us, the assumption is that if it falls off, then what? Then you're not going to get it, because there's not going to be anything to retrieve. Or in other words, what the Mishnah is saying is, you could use the ledge, but you can only use the ledge for the type of kalim for which there'd be no concern that if they fall off into Rosh Sarabim, you'll go and retrieve them. What type of kalim is that? Ultimately breakable kalim. Tanya Amyachir, Bryce, that supports this. Ziz Shlefneachalan, if you have a ledge in front of the window, Hayotzi Rosh Sarabim, and the ledge extends over the public domain. So what can you do with it? Nostin alav karos vikosos kitonios utsluchios. You can put on it plates and cups and pitchers and platters. What's the common denominator of all of those things are? Right? They're all breakable. Right? Common denominator is they're all breakable. Umishtamesh bechol hakosel ad asara hatachtonim. And for that matter, you could use the entire wall. And also what that means is if the ledge extends, that's what I want. They didn't want to just call it a window ledge, but if the ledge extends, let's say throughout the entire area of the wall, the whole length of the wall, you can use that entire ledge. And in fact, it doesn't matter how high or low it is, as long as what? As long as the ledge is not within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because once you remember, we're dealing with a ledge that overhangs the Shurabim. 10 tefachim of the ground is what? Is the airspace of Rosh Sarabim, and remember, also we've already seen that the wall area, with, even though that wall is part of a building, that's Rosh Sayachid, the wall within 10 tefachim of the ground has the status of Chorei Rosh Sarabim. And therefore, again, you can't use that area of the wall either. V'im yesh ziz echad lemata mimenu. However, if you have another net ledge below the one that's right outside of your window, mishtamish bo, you could use that ledge also. However, if you have a ledge on top of your window ledge, then ein mishtamish bo, ela kineged chalono. You can only use the area opposite your window. Someone says, what are we talking about over here? Hai ziz hechi dummy. Now, the Gemara just said if I have an upper ledge, I can only use the ledge in the area right outside my window, but not in any of the other area. What does that mean? Someone says, hai ziz hechi dummy. What's the case? I deles be arba. Now, if the ledge doesn't have an area for tefachim, then Rabbi said makom pturhu. Then lemaisa again, then the ledge is a makom ptur. Va'afilu kineget chalono nami lo yishtamish. And we wouldn't even let you use that type of ledge outside, right outside of my window. Now, Rabbi said, here's what's interesting. Why can't you use a ledge that's less than four tefachim? It's a makom ptur. So the Gemara says very simply because what's going to inevitably happen with a ledge that's less than four tefachim? Stuff is going to fall off. Stuff is going to fall off. So Rashi points out, we don't want you using that type of ledge because inevitably it's going to get you in trouble over the course of Shabbos. So although Alts Hilcho Shabbos, it's not a problem, an immediate problem, because it is a Makom Ptur, we don't want you using it. V'i Ispe Arba, and I both say, if it does have four Tvachim, Bekule Kolsa Lishtamish, then Lamaisi should be able to use the Ziz throughout the entirety of the wall. So we'll say, listen to this. Amar Abai, what's the case over here? Tachton de Ispe Arba. Rabbi said, this is a case of two ledges, a tale of two ledges. So what happens? So now the bottom one has an area for tefachim. So Rabbi said, if it has an area for tefachim, then what? Totally usable. The elyon, less be arba. Rabbi said, listen to this, the upper one. Now the upper one is the one right outside my window. That upper one does not have for tefachim. V'chalono mashli maso l'dalid. But interestingly enough, Rabbi said, what? When you combine the area of my ledge, now remember, the windowsill itself has a certain area. So now, when you combine the ledge with my windowsill, that creates an area of our ba'a, four. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kineged cholon mishtamish, you could use the ledge right opposite the window, dechore cholonu, because it's considered to be an extension of the window, dehaigisa aser. But the ledge on either side of the window, Rabbi say, which what? Which lacks the proper area for tefachim, that cannot be used. Rabbi say, take a quick look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. It's Rashi idalesbe arba'a, but it's actually, to keep this easier, it's the last four short lines in Rashi. I just want to show you this. Rashi says, Hani mili bidi'is be dalid. The only time we let you use, remember again, the Gemara is now telling us that if the ledge is not for tefachim, we don't let you use it. Why? So the Mishnah, so Rashi is over here, because when you have at least a ledge of four tefachim, the chances are that the object is not going to fall off the ledge. Aval hacha deruba nafli, but ultimately when you have a ledge that's less than four tefachim, then what? The statistical probability is what? that any object that you place on it is going to fall off. If that's the case, mechse kiman dishadi lehejya, the Rosh Hashanah happens. It's very interesting. So the Gemara says, to use a ledge that's less than four tefachim, you know what that's tantamount to? That's tantamount to taking an object from your window and mamish throwing it right into Rosh Hashanah. Meaning the inevitability of the fall is so great that it's like, and therefore again, obviously both say, taking something from your window and throwing it into Rosh Sarabim is a malacha. That's the Isra D'Oraisa. That you can't do. So to use a ledge that's so small that we can't really contain anything, so therefore the Gemara says like this. So also L'maisa comes out as the following. If the ledge is four tefachim or more, then L'maisa you could use it. You could use it as long as what? As long as it's not within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Sarabim. Now what happens if you have a ledge that's less than four tefachim? So everything depends. If you could combine the area of the window sill with the ledge to make it four tefachim, then you could use the ledge dafka opposite the window. But if that same ledge extends the entire length of the wall, you can't use the sides. The sides are usser, but the area opposite the window will be mutter. So let's just read the Mishnah. Omid adam birshus hayachid, umetaltel birshus rabim. A person is permitted to stand in rishus hayachid and carry something in rishus harabim. Birshus harabim, he can stand in rishus harabim umetaltel birshus hayachid and can carry something in rishus hayachid. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Omid adam birshus hayachid bebayis o alagag. A person is standing in a house or on top of a roof. Vishocha v'notel chefes birshus harabim kan umanicho kan. So also remember, essentially, if you could imagine, my entire body is in rishus hayachid, but I extend my hand into the rishus harabim and I'm moving something. I have a lot of, it's a long Shabbos afternoon, right? I'm moving something in Rosh Sarabim. So what happens? I can do that. Ubilvad shlo yotzi chutz me'arba amos. As long as what? As long as I don't move the object more than dalet amos. Okay. Similarly, lo ya'or nasrali. Lo ya'amod adam birshos hayochid. Umashtin birsh, v'yashtin birshos harabim. We'll say a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Sarabim and urinate into Rosh Sarabim. Now there are a lot of reasons for this, right? Right? But again, for now we're just going to focus on Hilchos Shabbos, right? So for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, right? So for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, what this means is you're standing in Rosh Hayochid, and literally I am dislodging and moving something from Rosh Hayochid into Rosh Sarabim, or Birshus Harabim v'yashdin Birshus Hayochid, or vice versa. Right? Especially Abosai, if it's not your own Rishus Hayochid, right? That's even a bigger reason not to do this. In any event, so Abosai, maybe it's not. Right? So the idea over here is in these cases, you are essentially saying you're moving urine from one Rishus to another Rishus, which is Asur on Shabbos. V'chein lo yoruk, and so too, you shouldn't spit. Lo yoruk means you shouldn't spit from one rishus to another rishus. Okay, who says that's a very interesting halacha? Rabbi Huda says, "Af mishen nitlash roko befiv." Even is very interesting. Literally, what this means is even when the saliva or the phlegm collects in your mouth. Rabbi Huda, like we know, I don't have to describe this, but the idea is that let's say it's probably easier to illustrate with phlegm than more with saliva. A person coughs up ready to phlegm, so it's there. It's collected in my mouth, ready to be expelled. So Rabbi Yehuda says that in that point, when the saliva or the phlegm collects in my mouth, that's already lo yahalech arba amos. You shouldn't even walk dalet amos in Sarabim without spitting that out. Why? Because we'll say once it's collected in my mouth, it's as if it's dislodged. Once it's dislodged, it's no longer part of my body. Once it's no longer part of my body, therefore by definition, I'm carrying it. Atshok. So you should make sure to expel it, spit it out before you walk dalet amos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo yaluch arba amos atchiyaruk dechevan delemeshadjekoi." Because since it is already ready to be expelled from the body, therefore Rashi says, "Masuihu." It's considered like a burden, and therefore to go ahead and walk with it in your mouth, dalet amos, would be like carrying something. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, you should expel it before walking. All right, Tavosei, we'll stop over here for today.
Is that about gum when there's no oil?
Well, we'll see. Gum is a little bit different because.